Hey, Pigeon Pros family, it's Stefan Jones, your co-host, checking in. Before we start episode 5, I wanted to address the fires that have been going on in Los Angeles, California. Us being from California and California being our home, we want to send our thoughts, prayers, and condolences to everybody who's been affected by these fires. There's been devastating loss. People have lost their homes. People have lost family photos, memories, just things from their childhood, their entire cities, their schools. It's been a truly devastating occurrence, and it's still going on. And hopefully by the time this video goes out and this episode is released, there will be full or at least majority containment of the fires that have been going on. And I wanted to address this because it's important to us. California is our home. I personally have colleagues and friends who have been impacted by these fires. I have friends who their siblings have been evacuated. Their coworkers have lost their homes. A coworker of mine currently, I know she's lost her home, the family pet. It's a lot. It's a lot to deal with. And even though we have a small platform and we're still growing our Pigeon Pros family, we wanted to share resources so that you could help. So whether that's through the American Red Cross, whether that's through donating to GoFundMes, sharing any of your own resources that you have at your disposal to provide to those impacted, it's very much appreciated. And we highly encourage you to help out where you can. This is a tough time for California right now, more specifically Southern California. And we just want to stand in solidarity with our friends, family, colleagues who are being impacted by this. It's a very, very serious, tragic event that will take decades to recover from. And no amount of words, no amount of condolences or prayers can truly articulate how devastating and how tragic this is. And we feel for everybody impacted by this. And we love you. If you are part of the Pigeon Pros family and you've been impacted, feel free to reach out to us directly. On our Instagram, we posted a post with different resources and centers that are housing evacuees and providing shelter and food and Wi-Fi access and bathrooms and just basic necessities. And this was posted beginning of January, so hopefully by the time this episode is released, those resources will still be available. And hopefully also by the time this video is released, the fires will be fully, if not mostly, contained, which that also leads me into saying an immense thank you to the firefighters, the EMTs, the police officers, all the first responders that have been helping to deal with this and to mitigate the spread of this tragedy. We really appreciate all of your hard work. It's truly a superhero job, and we thank you, and we feel for everybody impacted. And if you have a personal story or a personal experience that you would like to share or anything that we can do to help, definitely feel free to leave it in the comments, contact us through socials. You can send us a DM. Feel free to email us. Our email is pitchandpros@gmail.com. You can also message us personally. If you have my number, Justin's number, Jeremy's number, and you've been affected by this, please let us know. We want to help where we can. And we feel for you. And if there's anything we can do, we want to help. And we just appreciate you tuning into today's episode. And our hearts, thoughts, and prayers go out to everybody in Los Angeles County who's being impacted by this right now. What's up, family? Welcome to episode 5 of the Pigeon Pros podcast. I'm your host, Stefan Jones. Right next to me is my co-host,
Mr. Justin Wolf.
Yes, Sirski.
What's up?
And this is a big one. So this is our last episode of 2024.
Yes.
So you know what that means. Cheers, brother.
Cheers. Hydrate. Water.
I'm doing the opposite. All right. But real quick, before we get into it, thank you to everybody who's been following us to this point. It's been such an honor, like, making all these episodes with you. So appreciate our boy Jay behind the cam, who literally, like, this does not happen without him. Like, I cannot stress that enough. And we're super hyped to be able to make it this far. Like, this started as an idea, what, like 2 years ago?
Right. Longer. It's been almost 3.
Damn. Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, it's winter 21.
Yep.
yeah, so just started as an idea at an IHOP brunch, and now we're 5 episodes in.
Rolling in now. We're really into it now. Yeah. No, we appreciate you guys so much, and we really want to emphasize, you know, how much you guys do make an impact on us, and how, you know, especially with episode 4 and with the rest of the episodes coming out, you know, or even the ones prior, you know, I think you guys really showcased us, you know, this is something we really want to do and really want to keep going. So, you know, this is just the beginning, and yep. We're really hopeful that, you know, especially you guys are the beginning of all of this, and we want to just continue to push and continue to create the best content possible and continue to inspire, because I think we both agree that we want to inspire. So, you know, yeah, it's been such a great year, great learning experiences overall in terms of just life. And then also, you know, with the pod, us really trying to grow as much as possible, because we talked about a lot. Whew, from episode 1 to now,
bro, it's been already a journey.
Huge difference. I mean, just, yeah, I'm sure you guys see it, but I think overall for both of us, we're like, wow, like, it's already been a big impact. And, you know, we want to make sure that's not it. We don't want it to be like, this is it. We want it to keep going. And especially, you know, like, kind of touching on last episode with the mental health episode, we want to make sure, you know, yes, we kind of talked about it pretty early on for the podcast, but we want it to be something that you guys can go back to whenever you guys, if you're new, and then even newer coming, I mean, hey, maybe you're watching this a year from now, right? Maybe you go back to the episode 2 years from now.
Yeah. Whenever.
A few months. Yeah. Like, we really want the episode to be an impactful episode. And I mean, same with everyone, but that one, especially since it was so like deep and we were really getting into deep conversation and topics, you know, it's really showcasing to you guys, hey, look, like, whenever you need, that's a perfect watch, perfect listen.
Yeah. And, yeah. Like, and we're super excited to just be bringing on guests, continue to put out and improve our content. And if you want to stay up to date with everything, make sure to like, comment, subscribe. As always, hit the notification bell so you can know every time we upload a new episode. Also, make sure to follow us on our socials. So at Pitch and Pros, we'll share our personal ones at the end. And then also, you know, we're on here on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music. So definitely be sure to check us out there, because we definitely want to get as many of you guys in the family as we can. So without further ado, let's get into it. Wolf actually has a fun little segment for us. So go ahead and introduce it, brother.
Yes. As you can see, and from a lot of our episodes so far, we love to bring up music, love to talk about music. A segment I wanted to do for this one was I wanted us to talk about our favorite artists.
Yes,
sir. We've touched on them a little bit through previous episodes, but this one, I want us to have a top 5 of our favorite artists. I'm not saying best. I'm just our personal favorite that we either listen to all the time.
Bet.
We just thoroughly enjoy, even if we don't listen to them as much. Top 5 artists. With that artist, I want us to pick our favorite album from the artist.
Okay.
And then with that same album, I want you to pick your favorite song in that album.
Easy money.
So you can start with just naming the artist and then name your favorite album song. After, you can rank them 1 through 5.
Bet.
Sound good?
Let's do it.
You start though.
Okay, for sure. So the first album that comes to mind.
Artist first.
Artist, yes, artist. Or our first artist that comes to mind. Tyler, the Creator.
Ooh.
The album, ooh, Flower Boy.
Okay, I respect
and
that.
And then, so the songs, it's kind of a mix between, because there's two. So obviously, See You Again with Kali Uchis. Banger, like, that's a classic.
Had a feeling.
It's between that one for me and 911 Mr. Lonely with Frank Ocean and Steve Lacy. Because I remember, like, this was when I was in my emo era, bro. I had this in rotation, like, consistently.
I respect that.
But yeah, no, just like this entire body of work, I guess this was the album that put me onto Tyler. Like, I listened to some of his Odd Future stuff, but like, it was nuts. He was talking crazy on there. So yeah, Flower Boy was the first project that really made me realize his artistry, and also fall in love with his music. And I think also too, at the time that it came out in 2017, it fit where I was at mentally. So yeah, so Tyler, the Creator, Flower Boy, and my favorite song off of that, I'm going track 10, 911, Mr. Lonely.
Sick. Yeah. Sick. Ooh, that's a good start.
You already know, baby.
For me, I mean, I already know my list, but I'm trying to think, who can I approach this first with? Let's see. For me, it has to be, a lot of people are going to be like, oh, that's a very interesting choice. Well, again, artist, music, one of my favorite artists of all time is Chris Brown. I grew up listening to Chris Brown all the time. So please, do I condone things that happened in the past? Not at all. I do not. I want to specify, please. Like, music-wise, he's one of the absolute best. And I'm not diving into anything deeper than that. Please. But music-wise,
yeah, music only. Music
it's,
only.
It's breezy. Honestly, this one was tough in terms of album because, one, I think nostalgically is Fame because that was my first ever album that, like, my parents let me, like, buy was,
damn,
like, physically was that album.
Wait, that's dope.
Yeah, so it was, like, nostalgia-wise, that was my, like, first album I'd ever bought. So I was, like, listening to it all the time. Like, you know, I loved that album. But to be honest, like, one album that I listened to a lot, especially now, is actually Indigo, which has got, like, No Guidance. Mm. Heat. So, but
did you got genuinely heat?
Yeah. But to be honest, I think I'd have to just go Fame just for the overall aspect of, you know, the nostalgia and also, like I said, overall impact.
Oh my God, there's a lot of classics on there, so I'm excited to hear the song.
Favorite song on there. Wow. That's tough. That is a tough choice. Wow. I have to think about that one. you're gonna have to probably pull
it up. No, I'm gonna pull it up.
Yeah, I gotta look through it. There's some tough ones.
Let's
on
see
there.
Here. Hold on. Boom. Okay, let's so see. We got Deuces. Damn, Deuces was the intro.
Yeah, hold on.
Oh my gosh.
Oh,
look at me now.
I was thinking about that. I was like, no. Okay, there's two that I've got. Okay. So, She Ain't You. Or Deuces, but I'm probably gonna go She Ain't You because that song always had me vibing.
Yeah.
Always dancing. And obviously, when I was younger too, it was just hitting because, you know, you're going through the phase of like, dang, I want girls to like me. So, you know, it hits a little different.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I'd say just because, like I said, that's nostalgia and that's probably one of my first albums I really enjoyed listening to. So,
fire choice, bro.
Yeah.
Fire
am choice. Am I seeing your next artist right there?
Yeah, I'm pulling it up.
That's crazy, actually. That's one I wouldn't expect.
So I'm gonna go Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne, one of the lyrical goats.
Wheezy.
Shoot, bro. Yeah, I gotta go 6 foot, 7 foot. Oh. Like, dog, I've had that.
Which album is it?
Carter Four. Oh, my bad. Carter Four.
Yeah.
Carter Four. Classic.
What a song. Though.
Classic. Oh. I've had that in rotation. Since the project dropped 2011, like that's because, like, bro, especially like Blunt Blowing, Mega Man, like I feel like those are slept on the project because it's just like, bro, it's so hype. And also Lil Wayne just as a lyricist is crazy.
Different. He's different. Yeah,
I don't really believe when he says like, oh, he never wrote anything. Like, I mean, it's probably true, but just like, dog, like the bars that he has to have never put pen to pad for him, just unfathomable. But yeah, I'm going Lil Wayne. Carter Four, 6 foot, 7 foot, without a doubt.
Respect that.
Yep.
That's a great choice. Next one for me. Again, we're no order yet. I'm gonna pick Gunna. Gunna Wanna.
Ooh. Gunna Wanna. This
one is gonna be tough because, like, I actually really like a lot of his albums. I really enjoy his music. For me too, is like, you know, I think. Somewhere where we kind of defer in music is like, you know, you're a lot more into like the lyrical side of rap.
Right.
I think for me, I enjoy lyrical rap, but I think also I'm very into like melodic music and melodic rapping. And that's something that Gunna has is his melodies and his flow, his rhythm. So it's like, yeah, that's why he's always stood out to me. And we also got to see him too. So
yeah, bro. At the Astroworld concert back in 2015, baby.
Yeah. So, album wise though, dang, that's a tough one. He's dropped some really great albums recently. I would probably say my favorite album though is probably Wanna, which he dropped I think in 2020.
Let's pull that up.
Yeah, Wanna.
Yeah, 2020.
Crazy. He had Argentina, Dollars on My Head. He had what else? Skybox, Wanna, Blindfold with Lil Baby. Top Floor probably is gotta be up there. But wow, this is a tough one. This is a tough one.
I ain't gonna front. I don't know like any of these songs.
I think my favorite song on there is probably Dollars on My Head with Young Thug.
Bet.
Yeah.
Gunna's a solid choice. Yeah. I rock with that.
Yeah, that album also is very good from front to back.
I gotta check it out, bro. Cause I remember when it dropped, but like I wasn't really like tapped in with Gunna at the time. Mm. Also, I think I misspoke. I said 2015 for Astroworld, but it was later than that. So it was like what, 2018?
Yeah, I was gonna say I was like, that's way later.
Yeah, I was bugging. Anyways, okay, my turn, yeah?
Yep. Shoot. Yes, sir.
This one's gonna be more recent. So I'm going Russ. And for the album, okay.
Interesting.
So for the album, I'm going with his latest project, Santiago.
Oh, interesting.
And the song I'm choosing off of that one, it's a super dark song, but it just like it's wow. It's very relatable. Yeah. Is I Love You Boy. Okay. But like because he even said in an interview with Zane Lowe on Apple Music, he was talking about how that, and I think he also spoke about this with with Jay Shetty on Purpose. He was talking about how like that was probably the hardest song to write because it was like the most vulnerable one, where he's talking about like relationship with his dad, mom, like kind of him growing up, and it's like his younger self talking and then his older self talking. So it's just, yeah, again, like you were saying, I'm definitely like a lyrical guy and like a storytelling guy.
Yeah,
so
yeah, you are.
Like that's my one. So Russ, Santiago album, I Love You Boy. And like it, definitely listen to it alone, like kind of by yourself, earphones in first. Like it's just very emotional.
Okay.
It's a very emotional track when you listen to it. So it's like not something you would throw on in the car with the boys, you know, or like when you're about to go clubbing. Yeah. So just a heads up to y'all who haven't checked it out.
Woo. All right. Next one. Obvious choice.
Travis Petty.
All right. Yeah. Travis. You know, I think with Travis, like, he was one of the first like real artists like really got into, especially in high school. Shout out our boy Hamed for showing me Travis. I think that was what introduced me to his music.
Hell and then, of a shout out.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, yeah. That's my boy right there. Yeah. Hey, that's our boy right there. I think he introduced both of us to a lot of music.
He put me on to Trap Soul, bro.
Yeah. With Bryson.
Hey, Ahmed, bro. Dog. Salute. Like you put me on, bro. Anyways.
So yeah, no, he put me on with Travis, and at the time too, the album he put me on is going to be my favorite album, and that's Birds in the Trap.
Birds in the Trap, sing Brad McNamara.
Like I don't think it's his like number one, like
it's best up there, work,
but no, it's for sure up there. But I think in just terms of my favorite overall, it is favorite song though. Ooh, okay, this is going to be tough because I'm torn between two. Yeah, it was going to be either Way Back or it was going to be, oh, where is it? First Take.
I remember that was the one that you said.
I think it's going to be First Take because that was one of the songs I always really like vibed with. And Bryson took off on that song too. So I'd probably say First Take.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dude, that's tough. That's a fire choice. Yeah, I think Birds. And honestly, Utopia are probably like
top two
projects.
I mean, Astro, I think front to back is also very good. Obviously, everyone's gonna say Rodeo, and yeah, all his albums are very good front to back.
Yeah,
no, big very fans. Very good. Big that's why fans. That's why he's one of the best.
Yes, my sir. Opinion. I'm trying to think of which one I know. Okay, I'm gonna show some female artists in love, and yeah, it's still going still gonna be in rap.
Do your thing, yeah.
Oh, Glorilla. I rock with Glow. She's not cracking my top five though.
That's crazy because you listen to her all the time.
Yeah, Glow. No, I do. I'm gonna go Nikki. And the album I'm gonna go, obviously, like arguably one of the greatest rap albums of all, or just it's more pop, but one still, of the greatest albums of all time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pink Friday. And gotta go Moment for Life.
I wish that I could have this moment for life. There you go.
For life. So yeah, Nikki, vocals. Pink Friday,
okay.
Moment for Life. And I'm going to keep it real. Like, I'm not a barb like that. Like, I rock with Nikki, but I'm not a barb like that.
Mm.
So I can't, like, recite all the tracks on this album. But I do, like, it is one of her best projects. And, like, Moment for Life, I think, is just a classic. So that's
solid.
That's what I'm rocking with.
Solid.
Yes, sir. Appreciate that.
I'm just going to do a quick hitter. Next one's Don. I mean, we've had this conversation already.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my favorite album. Whew, it might have changed recently, but I think I gotta stick with it. Yeah, it's got to be Life of Don. I just got to stick with it. And, ooh, this might be tougher in terms of songs, though.
Can I take a guess as to which
one? Yeah, take a guess.
Is your favorite Swinging on Westheimer?
Yeah, probably.
Ooh, yeah, probably. Because
That's one. I'd say that, or even You with Travis. It's one of the two, but I'd probably say Swinging on Westheimer.
Bet.
Ooh, Get Throwed is also a good one because that's the West Coast.
What? Vibe too. Oh, Get Throwed. Oh, okay. My bad. Selective hearings.
Throwed.
Okay.
Yes. Swinging on Westheimer is my favorite song on that album. Damn it, Jones.
My bad, bro. Selective hearing.
Yeah.
That's solid.
Very selective.
All right. So this is my last one.
Yeah. You take your time because I think I still need a second with my fifth one. I thought I had it locked in, but I don't.
Okay.
I don't have mine locked in.
So, man, bro. I'm torn between two right now. There's one artist who, like, I grew up listening to. Mm-hmm. But there's another who I listen to them so much that it would be crazy for me to not list them. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to go with the latter. I'm going to go Drake. And I'm not leaving Kenny and Cole off because I don't like them. Like, this is all just off the dome. Like, these are just albums and artists that, like,
crazy choice.
I rock with heavy. Man, fight me. Fight me, bro.
Hey. I said nothing. Hey, you know what? What did remind me? I remember, like, back in high school, like, obviously Drake's in terms of music wise can't ever fall off, but I remember like when he dropped Scorpion. as of recently, yes, he might have. But when he dropped Scorpion, I remember I was like, damn, maybe Drake ain't hitting the same anymore. And I feel like his music slowly just.
I thought Scorpion was like, I thought Scorpion was solid, but you know, the A B side stuff. If it's too many songs, it could get tricky, but. Okay, I'm gonna go Drake. Thank Me Later. Oh. And this is another, going back to the artist I had before. I'm going Up All Night with him and Nicki.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's probably one of the songs, like, gun to my head, I can rap word for word.
Respect.
Yeah.
Respect.
Don't put me on the spot right now. But like, no. Kush Bro, Glass, I prefer the better thing.
Hey.
People with no money, I like money, isn't everything. Okay, sorry. But yeah, that's Drake, thank me later, Up All Night. Bro. Yeah.
I respect that. Whew, okay. Last one. There's three, but one of them I have to kind of, I took my foot off the gas a little bit with.
For sure.
Wow. So I'm torn. These are the two I'm torn between. Uzi. Because I really rock with Uzi's music, especially his older stuff. I mean, even now, like, I don't think Eternal Take 2 was great, but I do think his other tapes are very good. But also, someone that I've always liked since high school and I still rock with, but maybe don't listen to as much, Denzel.
Oh.
Denzel's someone.
Sleeper.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the other person that I listened to a lot more, but I probably I'm not going to put on my list, it's actually Tory. Tory Lanez is someone.
I'm actually, now that you bring him up, I'm actually surprised you're not putting him on the list. Because you listen to him a lot. You might have to.
Yeah, I'm just going to have to put Tory. I was going to change him, but you know what? Yeah, it's got to be Tory. Again, musically. Please. Musically. Right. Like, artist-wise, I think he's, obviously, everything he did kind of messed up his career. But in terms of, like, music, I think every album he has is very, very good, and I do listen to him consistently. But, okay, torn between two. Alone at Prom is definitely one of them.
Okay.
Or, ooh, oh, it might have to be Chicks Tape 5 is one of those two.
Chicks Tape 5 is phenomenal.
Amazing album. But, okay, this is a tough one. This is actually tougher than I thought. This is actually a lot tougher. I would probably say I probably have to go Alone at Prom because I think it's just arguably his best work too.
For sure.
I think there's so many other albums though too that I do really rock with. My favorite song on here though, Ballad of a Bad Man.
You mean ballad?
Ballad. Sorry, I'm not. My grammar's terrible.
Ballad. I haven't heard that song. I got to check it out.
I think there's one song that Ballad of a Bad Man is one I usually would rock with a lot. So I'd say that. But yeah, I was trying to touch into some different avenues, but yeah, this is the most music I listen to.
No, I like that.
These are the five artists I listen to probably all the time.
So. I like that. No, yeah. I thought we both had like really great choices. Oh, 100%. I think if we do this again, I need to incorporate like more, because I listen to a lot of R&B too. Mm. So I need to incorporate like more R&B, and I need to show some more female artists some love, because like I put hella dudes on the list, but I think both of our lists were solid.
For a female artist, I would definitely would put SZA on there.
Oh, for sure, bro. Yeah, I'm more old school, like Alicia Keys, Mariah. Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah, or like Janae, Kehlani, Kali Uchis, Karol G. I could go on.
I know you can.
All right. We're done with this segment. Closing the laptop.
Yeah, I wanted him to name the 1 through 5. It's fine. We'll just leave it at that.
For sure.
We'll leave it at that.
So.
Got him again.
This guy, bro. So the main topic we wanted to cover with y'all today is me personally, and I think you guys could really benefit from hearing about this from Wolf too, is I really wanted to talk to you about like your mobility training and then also your approach to coaching. And like for me, the interest in mobility training comes from one, just in general, like I like growing up, I played baseball and then I played some other sports, but baseball was like my main thing. And I never really like I would weightlift and stuff and I would do cardio, but I wasn't big on stretching or like doing mobility and stuff like that.
Stiff.
Oh yeah. I was stiff as a brick, bro. Pause. But and then you really helped kind of show me how to like really damn, I was gonna say loosen up, but that's crazy too.
It's so south.
You showed so me how to really maintain my body in the proper way. Okay. Let's put it like that. And it's actually worked wonders for me. Like I do a lot of hip mobility stuff now. I do a lot of stretching, and I don't know if like any of y'all out there listening, watching have this. I have this thing called Osgood Schlatter's. So it's like where there's a prominence on your knee, and it kind of puts strain on your patellar tendon. And so like, bro, I used to never be able to go like below 90 or like even 90 for squats and stuff like that. So I just, you know, I was just all the way stiff, bro. And so now I'm like a lot more agile and like I'm a lot more free with that type of stuff. And obviously you being an athlete, like that's huge, because that like mobility, I assume, like really plays a huge part in your agility, your athleticism, your strength, and a lot of those things. So kind of just to start, talk about the importance of mobility as an athlete.
Well, mobility overall helps your body adapt. So literally what you were saying, like as an athlete, if you can't get into specific ranges of motion, good luck in a way. And I know I kind of say that a lot with like good luck, but it's more of in a sense of if your body can't adapt to a certain range of motion, whether it's like your body, if your ankle rolls a certain way, if you can't physically like move it on your own, not like where my hand is moving it, but like if I can't get into a certain range of motion or it's not adapted to a certain range of motion, the less mobility you have, the more likely you'll be risk to injury at the end of the day. So the more mobility you have, the less susceptible you'll be to those injuries. So it's mobility is key. And a lot of athletes don't realize that. They're just kind of, it's on the back end. But like, if you really want to take your sport seriously, you really have to tap into mobility work. And, you know, I, you know, especially with this topic, I got to really shout out to all the people that helped me learn a lot about mobility through, you know, all my coaches through playing wise, you know, club coaches, trainers, but more specifically, my trainers like Daniel. Shout out you, Daniel. Feel the Foundation. Always a big part of my routine in a way of me like opening my eyes to training itself. He really opened my eyes to so much in terms of like functional range conditioning, the way mobility really works and the way your body needs to adapt as an athlete. And the amount of crazy workouts he put me through, just the like different movements you need your body to do. He really showcased it. I'm like, wow, I would have never thought I'd be spinning off a box and landing on one foot.
Man, that's nuts. Yeah, so you're like, not going to catch me doing that for so sure. It's definitely not going to catch Jeremy doing that either. No diss, but like for real, we ain't doing that.
But that's just stuff happens, right? Like as athletes, stuff is going to happen. So how can your body adapt? It's being able to adapt. And that's why like a lot of kids are emphasized to play multiple sports. Mm-hmm. So your body adapts to different movements. But shout out Daniel.
Real quick too, just to that point, that's why like I know a lot of guys who play basketball, like they – like do some of them, a lot of them play footy too.
Yeah.
Because of the footwork and stuff.
Other way too. A lot of footy players are really into basketball because hand-eye coordination, still very similar movements too.
Then why are you so buns?
you're talking a lot because I remember last time we played, I think I beat you, I beat him, and I think I won one of the games.
Yeah, low-key you were strapping. I ain't going to lie.
Hey, I don't know. He's talking a lot, but I know. I remember winning.
Real quick, we're going to get back to the topic, but real quick, you didn't see me play Jay. Like, I know he's behind the cam. I was hooping. Come on, Jay, right? Yeah, I was hooping. I was getting my midi game was looking strong. I botched some layups, but, you know,
shit happens.
All right, bro. Anyways, back to mobility.
For real, shout out Daniel for opening my eyes to a lot of that. Shout out my boy Mike, too, for kind of introducing me to stuff while I was playing at a good semi-pro level and trying to get me to that next step with pro, too. He helped me kind of understand, even with other training I did, he's like, oh, maybe think about it this way. Mm-hmm. Adapt to this way. He showed me Gota versus Woda, which is greatest athlete of all time, like, and also, like, worst athlete of all time. Mm. And it's like, it's almost in the way of, like, your body adapted.
Got you.
Like, if you look at how Michael Jordan would step, like that was the example they would use, was like how he would step. If you see how his body and his like trajectory of his like his movement is allowing him to attack, whether it's like his knee not caving in, his ankle kind of planting a little bit more inward, like in inversion rather mm-hmm. than eversion, so being able to be inverted, pushing and like springing out. So it's like really tapping into how your body's connected to your movements. And then you could see how athletes with bad mobility and bad movement, hence WOTA, right? You see how they have injuries because you look at their body movement and you look at how they're trying to like use their ligaments or joints to really like expand into certain ranges or expand into certain movements that they don't have. Right. And that's when you see ACL injuries, you see ankle injuries, you see different movements where like they're trying to twist, but then you see knee going this way, the rest of their body going the other, and you're like,
right.
Ooh, that doesn't look good. But it's through adapting and trying to work on those exercises to build your body, build your feet. And then also, shout out to also one of the guys I worked with recently too, Sam. I hope you're checking this out. I know you're in the UK. But he showed me a lot in terms of like soccer movement, soccer training, mobility. And, you know, obviously it's more specific, but you know, it still opened my eyes to a lot, and I got to really experience a lot in terms of how your body needs to adapt, how you need to approach, mm-hmm. like, your load, like, how much you put on your body, how you can kind of, ramp up your weight, ramp up your, like, your fitness, your speed, all that, all into one. And so, like, he really put, like, a plan forth. So all my other trainers, like, it was a lot of different ideas, which helped me a lot as a pure athlete. But his focus was more, okay, how do we focus on it, the movements for soccer?
For athletes who maybe like can't afford a trainer, or they're on a team or with a program that doesn't really have a very well built out training staff, like where can they get started on mobility?
YouTube. Look up YouTube. Honestly, there's so many good things. But at the same time, really still challenged to be like, does this make sense? Because to be honest, there's a lot of things that like, there's a lot of trainers be like, that's not good for you. This isn't good for you. But to be honest, your body has to be able to handle a lot. It's just about being smart and being like, if that doesn't feel good, maybe don't do that. Right?
Yeah.
If you are seeing someone like touch their head all the way to like their knees, their toes, And if you think you can do that, don't just do it. Just like build, right? Like you got to be able to.
I for sure can't do that. That's. I can't. Dang. Okay. Hey, mobility right here, baby.
But also, that's also flexibility too, which is different. So right. Mobility and flexibility is also still different, right? Flexibility is how much your muscles can stretch. Mobility is how much, you know, like I said, how much your joints, your body can move and adapt.
Right.
So it's there's that difference that you have to, you know, make sure you understand. Like me doing all these stretches doesn't mean I'm going to be more, more mobile in a way. I'm going to be more flexible. I'm going to be able to do a lot more with my muscles.
What are like some major mobility exercises that you think, regardless of the sport they play, every athlete or even like just the average person should be doing?
Shout out Daniel, shout out Cars. They're called, oh my gosh, controlled articular rotations. So they are, I taught you them whenever you'd work out with me. It was when you do the neck, spine, car. It's all different joints and ligaments that you're trying to control to make sure that, you know, one, it's essentially, it's kind of priming, but it's not. You're trying to really gain a lot of like access in areas of your body that you didn't think you could access. Because the more you move it, the more you try to like find more. And something he would always tell me is you want to look for more. You want to find more. You want to like dig into deeper ranges. Like you really want to like tense your body to find, okay, let me push into this direction a little bit more on my shoulder blade.
You helped me a lot with that, with shoulders. Because like for like, especially for me, I'm sure a lot of average people who maybe aren't athletes can relate to this. Like when you're sitting at a desk a lot, if you don't have a very ergonomic chair, ergonomic computer setup, whatever, like a lot of that strain goes on your neck, your traps, your rhomboids, your shoulders. Mm-hmm. Like so even like, you know, if you don't have like a strong core posture, like your lower back, you know, and you really helped me with that, like showing me certain mobility exercises for that too. So yeah, just wanted to make note of that. Yeah.
It should be an everyday thing. And like I said, look up Cars and you'll be like, wow, that helped a lot. Because for me, especially like before workouts, I do it every day. Like I don't do it as like thoroughly as I probably should, but I still touch on it and make sure it's still a focus for me every day.
Yeah.
Because it's important. And I always feel clean doing it.
Yeah. No. And like also too, because I've just seen like, because a lot of the mobility stuff that I see you do too, it's like I think another thing to mention, and correct me if I'm wrong, but also just being very slow and patient with it.
Yes.
And like really, really focus on like that mind muscle connection as you're doing certain things. Like, you are a master at that from what I've seen.
You have to be controlled. That's the whole idea, is control. Like you have to control your body. You have to, like you said, build that mind, muscle, body, tension, connection, everything to be able to, like I said, get deeper range of motion, but also like understand that you got to move different parts of your body separately. And that's where also, you know, like everything kind of correlates, is like you got to be able to move your body in different ways separately, but also like in terms of your sport, you have to be able to adapt your whole entire body to adjust to movements. And that's what I mean, is like, you know, one thing that I still, obviously I don't do it specifically, but something that I really loved that I did when I did train with Daniel was training barefoot. Literally barefoot. And so like that's why I wear barefoot shoes, is literally because of that, because everything starts with your feet. You have weak feet, everything else is gonna be weak. So that's why it's like, you know, I always try to make sure, even when I'm doing like my mobility stuff, I'm still like my feet, making sure my feet are grabbing everything and feeling natural. Because I mean, if you look at like, let's look at footy specifically, best players, not only are their feet strong, but the reason why their touch is so natural, so pure, because they've adapted to being barefoot with the ball and building that pure connection with the ball.
Who are some players that you think young footy stars out there can go and watch to emulate that? Or Neymar. Like to Neymar? Yeah.
If you look at like a lot of players that grew up like in areas where, you know, they didn't have the privilege to be in these super nice facilities, super nice fields, they're playing on the streets barefoot, playing in dirt, gravel, whatever it may be.
That sounds tough.
But they're doing whatever they can to like play. So it's like all of their movements, all of their natural ability came from just being there, being barefoot, being just, again, like you want to be able to have movement, but you also need to have that little bit of like that almost restriction in a way where it's like you still are going to have that little snap to like your step, snap to your touch, snap to like all the ways you move. Because there, like I said, there are going to be moments where like you might be fully in a certain movement, but if my body can't adapt to get myself back up, I got to I got to strengthen everything else. Too, right. You know? So like, and that's why, like, if you look at, said from your feet to your ankles, like best people that have that spring, that extra bit to them that are moving naturally is because their ankles and their feet are just strong and firm.
So what, like, you know, going off of that and then transitioning into coaching, like before we leave mobility, what would you say are like the biggest takeaways that everybody, regardless of if they're an athlete or not, should take away from mobility and what they should apply moving forward?
In terms of mobility, I think you just gotta be consistent, just like we talk about with everything else. If you actually want to work on your mobility, you have to do it consistently. And it doesn't mean, like I said, just the cars. Like, you have to do other movements. Yeah, rolling out, stretching is good too, to build your flexibility and open up your body and your muscles a little bit, but also being consistent with, you know, once you start getting in different ranges of motion, how can you challenge your body to do more?
Right.
Don't just be okay with, okay, I'm starting to feel a little bit more open. My body feels a little bit more mobile, but you have to also understand there's different forces to your body.
Mm.
You deal with different forces. So it's like, if I need to adapt it more, you got to maybe add weight. You got to maybe add this. You got to add that, different movement here, different movement there. So it's just continuing to be consistent with building more and more as much as possible.
Yeah. And I'm sure obviously you incorporate a lot of mobility stuff into your coaching. And I really am interested for you to kind of share with the audience, like, obviously, you know, at Golden Boot, you guys have your own strategies and like some of the stuff you guys probably have to keep in-house, obviously with how you guys prepare certain things. But to start, like, what is your personal approach to coaching from a tangible perspective? Because obviously there's like certain mentality components that come into that. But from a tangible perspective, how do you approach coaching?
Like, in what ways are you looking at?
I guess just like in terms of getting started, right? So like, let's say you have a new client. For example, let's say you're starting with a new client who's never touched a football in their life, right? Like, how do you approach that?
I think one, obviously we have a specific way we know how to like assess a player.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's what it comes down to, is like, if you're going to coach a player and if they're new and you need to kind of gauge, okay, what can they do? What can't they do? Don't just throw the craziest session possible. Be like,
all right, scissor.
Yeah. Like, good luck. Guess, try it. But you got to be able to coach them through it. And like, it's just being able to like start simple and then build. Like, I mean, I know a lot of coaches are looking like, okay, I want this to look the best, but you got to make sure it works the best in a way where you have to be able to, you know, like I said, coach them through it, but also being able to get them to understand.
Yeah.
You want them to understand, because like if it's someone that's never played before, it's you have to be patient, because trust, especially if you're playing at a high level, whether it is footy or any sport, if you're at a high level and you're trying to like help a kid that's never played, you're obviously going to know so much more than them, but you have to like really like dumb it down and like really take yourself to their level and being like, okay, how would I want to learn?
Yeah.
How would I want their help to help me? Like, so it's like that positive energy, that, like I said, that patience, because trust me, it can be like, oh, again, like this touch again, this run again. It's like, okay, but you got to like still push them to be, all right, like you got it, keep going. But that can't be the whole time. You can't just be like, yeah, yep, good job. Like,
right.
You do still have to kind of like, hey, look, if you really want to learn, you got to take in the information. So it's about really pushing them in different ways, because every kid's different.
And as players are reaching new levels, especially like in different scenarios, right? Because you do individual training, you do group sessions, and also you're head coach of the Burlingame South Bay area here in California for Golden Boot Academy. But then you were a volunteer assistant coach for San Francisco State men's soccer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those obviously it all encompasses coaching, but it's like, it's pretty different dynamics. So how do you manage each of those dynamics? Like, what's your approach to individual sessions with your Golden Boot clients, group sessions with your Golden Boot clients, and then the team setting?
It's just, like I said, just knowing your individuals. I think you just got to kind of, one, individually, you get obviously that more hands-on approach where you get to kind of work with them and work with their personality only. You get into a group, you have a lot of similar levels, similar ages, but it's also understanding there's different personalities now. One kid might be able to handle a little bit more of a push. One might not as much.
Right.
So you can't just give them the same thing. You are going to try to. You're going to have to, but you still have to find a way to balance it out where it's like they're all getting the same focus and same ideas. And then in terms of like team-wise, especially players that are similar to my own age, it's still that same approach in a way where it's like you got to know the guys, the players you're working with. And I think it's just different in a team setting because now it's a whole collective. You're dealing with almost triple the amount of how many are in a group. So it's just, you know, for me, I look at it as like I still got to approach it as if I'm coaching. It's still coaching at the end of the day. It's just you're going to give different ideas, different topics, different like levels to what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about getting the best out of each and every single one of those players.
Right.
Like I know and I hope that my college kid can probably handle something more than my 8-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, and that's.
And know and hope.
Exactly. Hope. But that's the thing is you never know. So it's like you have to adapt. And that's the thing is as a coach, you got to adapt. You have to be able to. If you don't, then it's like it makes it a lot tougher. It makes it a lot tougher on yourself and it makes it a lot tougher on the kid.
Yeah.
Or not just the kid, but obviously the player, the individual.
And then for people who are aspiring to be a coach like yourself, right, and who are just starting out or maybe don't know where to start, whether it's running certain drills, teaching certain formations, how can they learn how to do that both at an individual level and like group and team level?
I think, you know, that's also like when we talk about playing, it's practice, right? It's practice and learning. So something that helped me especially was, you know, one, understanding that there's different levels and you can't just be like, all right, let's do it the Pep Guardiola way and give you so many different ideas to all these either kids or even some players that are older and they're like, ooh, I'm not sure. You got to like still build them up and build them into understanding a lot more of the game. But I think that also comes from that individual perspective too of like if they want to learn, they also got to go out there, watch games. That's one way you learn a lot. Mm-hmm. Not only from an individual standpoint, from being like, ooh, that's a good skill. I want to try that. Or, ooh, that's a good touch. How do you do that?
Right.
It's watching YouTube videos about certain movements, picking up drills on YouTube, watching a certain Instagram page called Golden Boot Academy. Check it out. But, you know, just gaining a lot of information and access through social media and through a lot of, you know, the internet. I think that's a good way too, is like just learning. You have to be able to learn because that's what helped me learn. Because I mean, first, I wouldn't have been in this position where I'm at with Golden Boot if I wasn't a client. Sorry, as a client, you know, like I was training with them consistently. And then I was given the opportunity during COVID to coach with them and then just kind of jump-started with that. But I don't think I would have had that drive and that passion to try it if it, one, wasn't for just working with them, but also two, I loved making sessions. Like, especially during COVID with all the people I was around, just making sessions was so fun. Like, just like looking up sessions on YouTube, looking at different players, like, okay, what's my position? What do I need to work on today? Okay, let's do some crossing. I'm playing outside back. Let me try this cross. How do you get it up in the air? Okay, let's try this. How does this drill now emphasize 1-2, go through, move? You know, just stuff like that helped me learn a lot in terms of those aspects. And like I said, watching games, analyzing games helped me really understand more and more and more, and doing sessions as well to help me like learn about the game. And be like, oh, that makes sense why this team has this approach to this game.
Yeah.
How they move tactically, how this person presses, how this person starts to drop off. So it's just the more you practice, the more you learn, the more you understand. That's how you kind of build your own way as a coach and be like, I like these ideas. How do I implement it now?
Right.
And if I'm in a collective, like in a group, in a team, a training team, whatever it may be, it's about all being on definitely on the same page.
Yeah, of course.
Making sure you emphasize, okay, this is how we know will help them best. And then again, right, when it comes to a team setting as well, it's like, okay, we all have to agree this is what's going to help us win. This is what's going to be our best approach in terms of tactically. Because then when you come into being a head coach, obviously with the younger ones, you really want to develop them. When you get older, it's like tactics are up to you. It's whatever you see the game as. Everyone sees the game differently. Everyone sees sports differently. So it's like, and that's the thing is like, everyone's got to understand its perspective. It's not like your way is wrong, my way is right. It's all ideas and what we have that correlate and link together in ways, but also just, like I said, different perspectives to how we see it. We're going to all read the game differently. My favorite player might be different than your favorite player because of how we see the game. You know, my favorite player might be more on the skillful technical side, while your player might be that hard worker. Like, I like how he works just because of how you view the game. And then that kind of correlates into how some coaches are, just how they approach their team. As they approach their team in terms of like, I like my players to work hard. I need everyone who's just going to work, win the ball, go forward. Mm. But some coaches are like, I like my players to be, you know, more calm, more composed, move the ball, fancy. I want some of my players to play free, be fancy, whatever they want. And then they just let them do their thing and there's no tactics to it. So it's all different approach and all how you view everything. And again, right, it goes from youth really developing. And then once you get up older, you learn, you're like, okay, what can they now adapt to?
That's interesting. Like the difference in the coaching styles that you brought up was interesting. Like, because obviously, like a lot of coaches are different. Every coach is different. Oh, they have their own values of what they see in players. But I think the way you articulated was new to me. So I appreciate you sharing that. And then encompassing everything that we went over with mobility, individual strategies, team strategies, group strategies. What's your pitch to those out there who want to be like you and want to be a professional coach? And then also let them know after you share that. Mm. You know, where they can find you and how they can train with you and learn from you as well.
I mean, my biggest pitch to you guys is like I just mentioned, be open to learning. You always have to learn and you have to be willing to learn. Just because you may think you're at such a high level, you can always keep knowing and learning more and more and more and more. I mean, if you look at all the best players, they could be in like, even past their prime, they might be like, hey, I learned something new. I'm trying this now.
And like, what would you say are like the best resources for you to learn? So I know you said watching games, YouTube, what are some other things, like tangible things that people can go to learn?
Excuse me, watching YouTube, watching games, use Instagram, use TikTok. Like there's a lot of people out there that show a lot of drills, show a lot of games, analysis, like all that stuff.
Playing, of course, too.
Playing, but that, yeah, I think that's the biggest one too, is playing. Because I mean, even for me, like, you know, I've learned more and become a better coach because of how much I play, mm-hmm. and that, and also vice versa. I've become a lot better player because of my coaching and because of how I'm viewing the game in a different light now.
I've definitely seen that. Yeah.
So that's why I feel like it's good to do both. Like, I think for me, and especially like even like when I get to a point where like I'm not gonna be playing as much, I still want to be playing as much as I still possibly can with my body, because I still want to be able to feel like I'm getting better. I'm playing, I'm learning new things so I can help these other players learn and get better too. So I'm like, hey, this is another viewpoint. You can see the game.
Yeah.
And because I've been able to do it too, like, you know, practice what you preach, you know,
100%.
So I think that's a big way too. Yeah. I mean, play as much as you can. Play as much as you can, learn as much as you can, coach as much as you can, make mistakes. You got to make mistakes. That's how you learn. That's how you get better. Like I said, whether it's coaching, whether it's playing, whether it's like, maybe I didn't approach that session the best way, learn from it. How can you adapt now?
Yeah.
It's always adapting.
100%. And for the Pigeon Pros family out there that maybe is located here in the Bay Area, California, and they want to train with you or, you know, get tapped in with some of the other coaches at Golden Absolutely. Boot Academy, where can they find you guys? How can they get tapped in with you?
First, look at our Instagram page at Golden Boot Academy. You know, it's growing a lot, and on there too will be our website. So if you need to directly contact us, one, you can directly contact us through Instagram, you can DM us, but you can also contact us through the website, and I'll have our email, all that stuff, and you get to kind of see our page, see all the coaches, you know, just see what we bring and see the environment we're trying to enhance for all of our clients and all of the individuals. And then for me as well, if, you know, if you're looking to train, you can also just reach out to me if you're wanting to train with me. I would prefer you reach out to my Instagram at JustinWolf06.
He finally got it right, y'all. Yes,
I did it right. but yeah, that's a start. And obviously once you kind of get going with me, then obviously I'll have conversations outside of just social media. So yeah, those are kind of the main ways you can find us. We have a YouTube channel too, though. It's also Golden Boot Academy. Really, you get to kind of see more of an insight of how our sessions are run, whether it's professional players, whether it's groups with college players, whether it's individuals with the younger kids. So you get a lot of insight into how we run our sessions and how we've kind of built our sessions as well. So definitely check us out on all of our social media, even on TikTok. TikTok, we same thing, Golden Boot Academy. You know, check it out. It's a lot of the same clips, but, you know, we tap into a lot of different areas too with them.
And we'll make sure to leave Justin's booking link and the Golden Boot information in the description of this video.
Yes.
And then if you want to check out our pages, it's at Pigeon Pros. We're on Instagram. We're on LinkedIn. And then also, too, if you want to listen instead of watching as well. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music. And then if you want to tap in with me on my personal pages, it's at Stefan C. Jones.
I should do that.
And yeah, I think this was great. I'm really glad that we finally got to dive deeper into you as a coach and what your approach is to that. And we hope you guys really got a great takeaway from this as well. And definitely be sure to reach out to Justin and the other coaches at Golden Boot if you're in the California area or even abroad, because, you know, they coach other places too. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I'm Stefan.
I'm Justin.
We'll see you guys soon.
See you guys.